welcome to A Year on the Farm. I am your host, Kimberly Allen. Join me as I share my small farm journey on Vancouver Island and connect with other female farmers about how to grow beautiful food, manage a farm, and feed our communities. Hello, and welcome to A Year on the Farm. I am your host, Kimberly Allen. I come to you today from the unceded traditional territory of the Comox First Nation on Vancouver Island, BC. Today, I am bringing you a solo episode to expand on some of the topics I have been talking about around farmer mental health and building resilience. I am grateful to listeners and the Instagram community for your comments and questions. Something I have been hearing from so many of you is the struggle of taking care of ourselves, especially for women. And I do think that as farmers, there are specific needs and challenges when it comes to self-care. When I started researching mental health strategies, I found that a lot of it didn't apply to my life. I talked a little bit about this last week in the episode Cultivate Joy on the Farm. And the reason for that is that the needs of rural women are often different than those in urban areas, and there simply isn't a cookie-cutter strategy that works best for women everywhere. As a farmer, food producer, entrepreneur, homesteader, and homeschooler living a rural life, self-care can look a lot different for me. But also, I am naturally an introvert. I highly value alone time. And I also create very clear boundaries with who and when I give my time and energy to. I think self-care can look a lot different for rural women because we're not necessarily in a close proximity community. Many of us are introverts. Childcare isn't always accessible. And we are often working long days and caring for others. It definitely took some time for me to get into a groove of prioritizing myself on a regular basis and not feeling guilty about it. The guilt and shame is pretty inherent for me and has been further stoked by our culture. I am slowly releasing myself from that grip as I create more solid boundaries around my time and energy. We live in a world where the work that many of us do as farmers and homesteaders is not valued, and so it is easy to feel less worthy because we are not hustling to try and climb a ladder and do whatever it takes to make more money. How I live, for many, is not considered successful. And thankfully, as I age, I care less and less about what other people think of me. I care a lot about what the people in my house think of me, and it's their opinion that matters most to me. But my purpose isn't about pleasing others or achieving some ideal of success that is defined by a culture that I don't care to participate in. I know that how I live my life is ethical, sustainable, and most of all, I have found that when I care less about what others think, I actually do my best work. Doing our best work is really the ultimate outcome of self-care because we're able to take care of ourselves and be our very best. As I've stepped out of the mindset of success and pursued what my heart truly desires in terms of creating and making, I have found it easier to prioritize my health and happiness. But getting here was a struggle. When I realized that not only was I struggling to prioritize my self-care, I realized that in terms of our family, what I needed wasn't even a priority at all. And so I talked to my husband. I told him that not only was I not being prioritized, but I felt like I wasn't even on the list. That him and the kids got everything they needed, when they wanted it, and if I was lucky, I could scrape together an hour a week. In that time, I was so exhausted that I couldn't even enjoy it or do something for myself. I realized that the intensity of our season of life right now, with tweens, a son in university, aging and ill parents, required more of me emotionally and physically, and I needed more recovery time, more time for myself. Thankfully, my husband and children are deeply compassionate and respect me and want me to be healthy and happy. We have shifted our family dynamic to ensure everyone is getting what they need and we all support each other. My kids need very different things from me, and with lots of schoolwork, activities, and farm work, we do manage to make it all come together. One very important key to that is that I plan in a lot of downtime for us as a family. Just time with nothing planned so that we can relax and play music, go for a hike, or play a board game. I have always been careful not to overschedule my kids, and I'm trying to make sure that we do that as a family too. I had an honest conversation with my children about how I needed them to participate in our home life. They're very supportive and helpful, and they love to make meals and craft and do farm work. And they know that it is their responsibility to participate in maintaining our home, helping on the farm. They love that we do this. They love our farm, they love our business, and they certainly love to participate in it. I'll have to admit that it took some time for me to adjust to what self-care can look like for me in a rural setting. You know, it just isn't a quick meetup with a friend for coffee. It isn't easy to plan a date night with my husband. It isn't easy for us to even leave the farm for more than an afternoon. I had to think about what I was craving for self-care, and for me it came down to four things. Rest, time alone, time to create and make something that isn't about our business, and time in nature. It hasn't always been easy for me as a mom of two who's the primary parent, and I take on not only a lot of the physical work of raising children, but also the emotional labor. I have definitely struggled at times to make myself a priority. What I realized is that I needed to set up a system where it was possible for me to have the time for self-care. There are a few things I have done to make this possible. First, I set up a calendar with each family member and the household and farm tasks for each week, including, now that my kids are old enough, doing their own laundry, house tasks such as cleaning, meal preparation, and farm jobs. Everyone knows what they need to do and when. The work gets done, and then it isn't all falling on me to keep the ship afloat. Secondly, I scheduled my husband to do some tasks that were difficult for me. I was in a car accident in January, and driving has been painful and uncomfortable for me, so I signed him up to do more driving. No apologies, it is what I need to recover from my injuries. Third, I schedule myself first. This has been harder, but I have managed to do it some of the time, which I think is a huge improvement. And by this, I mean I say when I need time alone or time to work or create. Rather than trying to fit it in when others were busy or asleep, which is what I used to do, and I realized that my work and self-care were suffering because I was doing everything just late at night or multitasking. I was squeezing in an hour here or there when others were busy with activities, and it simply wasn't working. When I shifted how I schedule my time, I became much more productive. I adjusted our homeschool schedule for me so that I work when I'm most productive, and my less productive time of day is for leisurely homeschool activities. Rest is really a topic I could create a whole podcast about. So I'm going to touch on this briefly here, but I think this could be an episode I'll come back to. When I speak of rest, I am not just talking about sleep, although that is definitely part of it. And I'm not just talking about physical rest, but also psychological rest, mental rest. So I prioritize physical rest in a few ways. I've set up clear boundaries for my time and energy. I started getting really comfortable with saying no or not just saying yes to everything, even things I care about or love to do. I also stopped feeling guilty for taking a break and resting to have a cup of tea or do nothing or take a nap. I love naps. I take a nap when I need it and when I can. But more importantly, more than the physical rest, is the psychological break from mentally managing everything and everyone. So many of us rural women are managing families and businesses, and we are always working, planning, thinking, strategizing, caring for others, handling calendars for multiple people, animals, project, volunteer work. And it's really important to unplug from that. I do this with meditation. Use what works for you, though. Maybe it is running, which it used to be for me, but I can't run now because of my injury. But working out, running, whatever it is, do something that is your meditation, that's a mental break. What I would say is not a mental break, scrolling through social media or binging on Netflix, those things do not give your brain a break. They're entertaining, for sure, and it's important to also have entertainment, but don't equate that as a mental break. And I simply don't think screens are the solution to us needing that mental or psychological rest, because it's impossible for our brains to rest when we're using a screen. For me, meditation has always been a part of my life, and I attribute it to a lot of the recovery from trauma and managing my mental wellness in my life. Sleep is definitely a part of the rest equation, and as for sleep, it is a work in progress. As a family, we set up a healthy sleep routine for us all. No tech in our bedrooms, ever. No screens after dinner, with the exception of maybe a weekend movie night. We head to bed early with a book or a cup of herbal tea. I even redecorated our bedroom to make it more relaxing for me. Also, I stopped making my kids clean their rooms. I never really was much of a stickler for it, but I just stopped it altogether. And the funny thing is, they keep them clean. I don't even have to ask. They just keep it as tidy as they need it. And I just really wanted to make sure that our bedrooms were not a source of stress. Even my husband and I won't have serious conversations in our bedroom. We just keep it as a space to relax and be comfortable. I actually don't need a lot of sleep, and I'm naturally a morning person. But I am often woken up in the middle of the night by someone, and that takes a toll on me. My injury has also made sleeping a challenge and uncomfortable because I've been in pain, so it is definitely a work in progress. These strategies have helped me make my self-care more of a priority each week. And when I looked at what I needed for self-care, I realized that I needed to get creative with how to make it happen. I often blend time alone and time in nature. It is a huge boost for me, and I notice that I don't even need a lot of this for it to have a big impact. Sometimes this is simply a walk around the farm by myself, and with my injuries, sometimes that's all I can do. But we are also lucky to live near a beach and a beautiful nature park with a big forest full of trails, and so my escape to nature is also within walking distance, helping me achieve less driving as well. I love not having to drive to nature. That always feels a little counterproductive to me. I have also blended creating something with time alone by working on launching and producing my podcast. This took more time for me to get launched than I had originally planned. But I want to give myself the grace to let go of expectations and be really happy I am making this happen every week. My goal initially was to learn how to create a podcast and learn from others. I have loved learning about it, and I'm really happy with a few hours a week that I get to devote to it. It is an outlet that is related to the farm, but it isn't about farm work and making products. The act of reflecting on this work and then sharing with others to build community has been very rewarding and fun. I have met amazing podcasters and farmers through this and gained new friends. And that for me has further supported my goal of having something that isn't about parenting or homeschooling or running our farm. It's just for me. Self-care can look different for everyone, and I do think that rural life creates its own special challenges, especially if you have young children and not a lot of childcare available. And for those of us who have chosen a rural life, we may value different things and create something different in our day when we're taking care of ourselves. For me, it really helped to very specifically identify three or four things that matter for me in terms of self-care. And the more specific, the better. Then I worked out strategies to create an environment that would make it easier to achieve those things. It's definitely a process, and I suggest tackling one at a time. Start with small steps. Maybe even scheduling something in to start is best so that no matter what, you know you have made that time. It could just be 1 hour a week to yourself to read a book undisturbed, or do nothing, or go for a walk. Build it into your family routine and make it a habit. And once that habit is more of a regular thing, it will be easier to build in more self-care and more habits for yourself. Self-care can be many things. Sometimes it's treating yourself to something you have wanted, such as a new book or a pair of cozy socks. And it is really about putting yourself first so that you are better able to do your work and care for others. It isn't selfish, it is necessary and important. Everyone benefits from you being at your best. As women, we need to really step away from the idea that we need to be exhausted and worn out to be worthy. In fact, when we are replenished and restored, we are able to be our best and do the most for our families and communities. When we thrive, everyone benefits. Thanks for listening, and as always, I truly appreciate that you are here. Please be sure to download episodes weekly because we have a new episode every Tuesday. You can join the community on Instagram at A Year on the Farm, and you can leave a rating and review on Apple to help others find this podcast. And remember, beautiful food is in your future. Thank you for listening to A Year on the Farm today. Don't forget, new episodes arrive every Tuesday anywhere that you listen to podcasts. You can also connect with our community on Instagram at A Year on the Farm and visit our website at gatherfarmandkitchen.com to learn more about our farm and to sign up for our email newsletter. Please remember, beautiful food is in your future.